Joey Hughes was a high school state champion in wrestling. He attended Ohio University on an athletic scholarship. He graduated with a business degree in management information systems. He started writing when he was 24, and at 27, he moved to New York City to attend Columbia University's School of the Arts, where he graduated in May of 2009 with an MFA in creative writing with a focus in fiction. From there, he went on to co-author two young adult novels with James Frey in the Lorien Legacy series. They were titled I Am Number 4 and The Power of 6, both of which were number one New York Times bestsellers, and they've sold over 2 million copies. You might be familiar with I Am Number 4, for it was made into a movie by DreamWorks Pictures, produced by Michael Bay. His work has been translated into 27 languages and published in 49 countries. Plus, he's got an upcoming book. It's called At Dawn, and it's due out on Tuesday, October 16th from Counterpoint Soft Skull Press. I'm really pleased he could join me on the radio show today. Joby Hughes, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Andy. Good to be here. I appreciate it.
Great to have you here. And I think people will be fascinated in the trajectory of your artistic work, especially the work that you did at Columbia to earn that MFA. We have many listeners to this radio show who are wondering how they can advance their own artistic projects and endeavors. And so I was wondering how it was that you chose to go after the MFA and why you chose Columbia.
Columbia was kind of a choice for no other reason than I wanted to be in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I had always idealized the city. I loved it. And for a lot of people, New York is very much a city that, unless you have some reason for going, and by some reason I mean a job lined up or you're independently wealthy, or, you know, it's a very tough city to be able to make it for artists, especially those of the struggling variety. And my way in was by going to grad school there. And I applied to 5 schools my first round and got rejected by all 5, Columbia being one of them. The next year I focused solely on Columbia. It was the only place I really wanted to go and the only place I wanted to go for a very long time. And so the second time around, I finally got in. And, it was kind of one of those life-changing moments that, you know, I got into Columbia. I'm going to New York. I was living in Chicago at the time. And, I don't think I stopped smiling for probably a week straight. And to New York I went.
That's great. Who have been some of the professors at Columbia who were most influential to you as a budding fiction writer?
I think probably my best professor, who I hadn't even heard of at the time, was a person named Jonathan Dee. He's most known for a book called The Privileges. It was nominated for the Pulitzer Prize last year. He didn't win it. Jennifer Egan's Goon Squad, A Visit to the Goon Squad, won the prize. But I took two different workshops with him. At Columbia, you take a workshop each semester. I took him my very first semester, and then I took him for my thesis workshop in my last semester. It was a nice way to bookend my experience at Columbia. Leslie Sharp is not necessarily a known writer, but she was a very personable one and one who really took an interest in my own writing. And, you know, sometimes you don't necessarily need the instruction side of writing, but more so the encouragement is every bit as important as anything else one might give you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, I mean, self-doubt, whether we want to admit it or not, is very much a big part of this process. And that never changes, whether you're a struggling writer trying to make it for the first time or you have 6 number one New York Times bestsellers to your credit. Self-doubt's always going to be there. And so that was probably those were probably the two biggest writers that helped me during my time there. Stacy Durasco is another name that comes to mind.
Excellent.
And
did living in New York City meet your expectations when you were heading there from Chicago?
Yeah, I did. I love New York. I love New York, everything but the cost.
Right.
In that regard, it certainly exceeded expectations. It's a very expensive place, we'll say that.
Now, you lived in Colombia around the time, if I remember correctly, when, or maybe it was years before when this happened, but when Bill Clinton was an important part of the Harlem neighborhood. Didn't he move there after his presidency to set up his Clinton Foundation?
Yeah, he was just, I lived at 108th in Columbus. Clinton's office was on West 125th Street in Harlem. So, probably a 15-minute walk. I walked by the building all the time.
That's great. He was here on campus at University of California at Davis yesterday, and he gave a big speech. So a lot of us have been thinking about the work that he does. He was focused pretty narrowly on political topics, but we know that the Clinton Foundation does important international work ever since he founded it years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Never saw Clinton while I was at Columbia, but I did see there was during the 2008 presidential election, they had it wasn't a debate, but it was some sort of event with McCain and Obama, right, maybe 3 or 4 weeks before the election. And that was a really cool experience while I was there. And then, I don't know if you remember, but Mahmoud Ahmadinejad from Iran came and visited Columbia as well. And it was really cool. I went to undergrad at Ohio University, a state school. They don't necessarily get big names like that on campus. So that whole experience was very much new to me.
That's great. If you're just joining us at home, my guest is Joby Hughes, and he is an author, co-author of a number of best-selling books under the pseudonym of Pittacus Lore in the Lorian Legacy series. They are I Am Number 4 and The Power of 6. Joby, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to share a public service announcement, and then when we return, I want to hear about who Pittacus Lore is and how you came about this great writing opportunity.
All right. Be happy to talk about it.
Excellent. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Joby Hughes is my guest. At one point, he was a state champion in wrestling, but he decided not to follow wrestling as a career and move on instead to the world of writing. He earned an MFA at Columbia University. And we were talking a little bit about this off mic, Joby. I think a lot of people are hesitant to head off to an expensive MFA program because of the significant debt. In fact, I read recently that the school debt, the college debt incurred by Americans is greater than our collective credit card debt. And I'm sure you were facing some of that yourself.
I faced a lot of debt when I graduated Columbia, no doubt about it. And I'm not surprised by that statistic at all.
And so did you have a plan? Did you have connections? Did you have a manuscript? Did you know you wanted to stay in New York City? What was your what were you thinking about once you graduated?
When I went to Columbia, I didn't necessarily think about what would happen when I graduated. I did have... I'm completely autodidactic in the fact that I taught myself how to write. I was a business major in undergrad, had never taken an English class, certainly not creative writing, aside from freshman composition, which everybody has to take. And I went for broke. Had I not gotten the breaks that I got, I really don't know what I would have done, but. I always had faith that I would be able to somehow make this writing thing work. And right before I went to Columbia, I had already finished 2 novels. Now, they weren't very good novels, and I'll never admit to having written them if anybody ever finds them. But that's how I taught myself how to write. You know, that's how any, you know, person who takes themselves seriously as a writer should teach themselves to write, is simply by doing it, by reading everything they can, and just by, you know, keeping their butt in a chair and writing. It really is as simple as that.
Absolutely. So it sounds like you were able to make a lot of mistakes privately, rather than having to make as many of them for your professors and peers in workshop.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people ask me about MFA programs, and, you know, it's a tough question for me to answer, because I'm not, I guess the greatest benefit to an MFA program that I've seen is that if you don't have the discipline required, or if discipline is a problem for you, then MFA programs are great, because they hammer the words out of you. You know, you have to turn something in every 3 weeks to workshop, or you're not going to pass. And, you know, I never had that problem. I write to a quota every day, and I've written to a quota every day from the time I started writing when I was 24. You know, and that's 1,000 words a day, every day, during first draft, anyhow. So, you know, you open the conversation with the MFA program and the money and all that sort of thing. Is it worth? Was it worth the? You know, I graduated. You know, to be candid as I can with you, I graduated $130,000 in debt for 2 years at Columbia.
And that's significant, because there's no guaranteed income for creative writers.
There's absolutely no, there's no guarantee whatsoever. And God, I don't even know what others do who don't publish books to pay down that debt, because that's the equivalent of you know, that's a mortgage. It's a $1,500 a month payment. And, you know, had I not, you know, sold item number four within weeks of graduating, I really have no idea what I would have done.
Well, let's talk about that. You worked with James Frey, a name that some people will know, under the pseudonym of Pittacus Lore, writing in this Lorian Legacy series. How did you come across this opportunity?
Well, I took a nonfiction seminar during my, I believe it was my second semester at Columbia, a nonfiction seminar that was called Can Truth Be Told, that dealt with memoirs that sort of bent the truth or had some sort of truth qualities about them. You know, for instance, we read in Cold Blood, obviously we read James Frey's memoir. And, you know, I loved A Million Little Pieces, and I was certainly in the minority in that class, and we talked about it constantly, and it was me and maybe one or two other people just getting lambasted by 18 or 19 other people week in and week out. And, you know, I got so frustrated that I kind of stalked James Frey's email online and finally found it, and I wrote him a fan letter saying, this is what, you know, I'm a Columbia student, this is what's happening. I'm supporting your book each week in class until I'm red in the face, so on and so forth. And he didn't respond to that, but he came and spoke to the film department at Columbia about a month or two later. And I think this is where my unique name, you know, there's not many Jovies in the world,
right,
really helped. And when I introduced myself to him afterwards, he's like, oh, I remember your email. Did you get rid of my reply? I did not get his reply, but based on that, it kind of opened up the chain of communication, and we talked and kept in touch. Nothing major at that point. It was, you know, this was March of, I believe, 2008, and we would share the occasional once-a-month, hey, how's it going, email, just to keep in contact with each other. And that went on for 9 months. And then I was in Colorado over Christmas and New Year's of that same year, 9 months later, and I randomly got an email from James saying, hey, I got an idea for a project. I want to see if you're interested in working on it with me. What's your number? I gave him my number. He called me. He, you know, gave me the very brief 1 to 2 sentence pitch of nine alien kids come to Earth, develop superpowers, a rival group follows in here. That's all I have. You work on it with me. And I'm like, hell yeah. Are you kidding me? It was perfect timing because I had, you know, what people don't know about At Dawn is that I actually wrote it. I actually wrote 3 drafts of it before I Am Number 4 was ever an idea, and certainly before it was ever pitched to me. And I had just finished my 3rd draft book at the time and had committed myself to taking a step back and taking a break so that when I came back to it, it would be fresh and new. And so, you know, working with James on I Am Number 4 was the perfect opportunity to fully extricate myself from At Dawn, try to forget about it, and submerge myself in something else for the next 4, 5, 6 months, however long it took me. And that's how it came to be about.
Were you surprised with the total success of I Am Number 4 and the sequel, The Power of Six, as well as the fact that I Am Number 4 is picked up for a film by DreamWorks?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, how can you anticipate or expect something like that to happen? You know, the success has blown my mind. And, you know, I started writing it. You know, I'm kind of obsessive and meticulous about keeping track of certain things. Anyway, so I started writing it January 5th when I got back to Colorado. I finished the 1st draft May 31st. So it took me almost 5 months to write. And things happened very, very, very quickly with it. It sold at the end of June. I can't remember exactly what it was. But, you know, when a book goes out and you know it's in the hands of editors, of producers, of all that, you're obsessively checking your phone. You're trying to think of anything you can possibly do to keep yourself busy, to not, you know, just not dwell on that. I probably saw 15 movies that month by myself just to do something.
Right.
You know? And it got to the point where it was in the hands of 3 producers who were all bidding on it. And you know, producers that just like, it was hard to imagine myself ever associating with, let alone being used in the same sentence. And it was a bidding war between Michael Bay, who took it to DreamWorks, J.J. Abrams, who took it to Paramount, and Bryan Singer.
These are big names.
Yeah, they're all very big names. And we, you know, obviously we went with Michael Bay because DreamWorks, you know, Steven Spielberg had just spun DreamWorks off from DreamWorks Animation. You know, people kind of think they're synonymous. They're not. They're 2 separate companies. And they were very aggressive in buying films only that they want, you know, buying films that they wanted to make. And so we accepted a lower price because we knew that DreamWorks was going to make the film if they bought it. And they did, it really fast. So we sold the film rights to it before we even had a publisher.
Wow.
Now, once we sold the film rights, you know, the publishers came out of the woodwork, even those that originally passed on the book and retracted their pass and made offers on it.
Excellent.
So it's kind of funny that way. But anyway, because DreamWorks bought the rights first before we had a publisher, they felt they had a hand in the editing of it as well. So there were certain things that I put in the book that DreamWorks requested, and you know, it was kind of a quagmire of you know, getting notes from the publisher and getting notes from the film studio as well, and how do I incorporate all this, yada yada. You know, frustrating at times. There were certain things I put in the book that then got discarded in the film script. So yeah, that was you know, that's the gist of how I Am Number 4 came about.
That's great. Well, good for you. We're chatting with Joby Hughes this afternoon. And he is partly responsible, as we've been hearing, for I Am Number 4 and The Power of Six. His new book is called At Dawn, and this comes from Counterpoint Soft Skull Press and is released on the 16th. So what is that, next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday, yeah.
Tell us about At Dawn.
I would love to be able to tell you about At Dawn. It's funny that, I started writing this book in 2006. It was the third book I tried writing. It is, coincidentally enough, the third book I'll be publishing. I've written five books, currently writing my sixth. And, I've learned there's two different kind of books a writer can write. Those he can easily talk about, and those, for whatever reason, you just can't. And what's funny is for me, despite this book having been with me for six straight years, it's extremely hard for me to intelligently talk about. So to answer your question, the short answer is that, At Dawn is very much, a coming-of-age story, a coming-of-age that comes twice for the protagonist over the course of the novel. The protagonist is, a somewhat self-destructive 27-year-old former state champion wrestler with an extremely dark past who, at the beginning of the book, leaves New York for Chicago in dire need of a fresh start.
Uh-huh.
He needs to rebuild his life that, for one reason or another, has been derailed for an extended period of time. And considering the novel set against the backdrop of the Great Recession, the one we just emerged, he struggles finding meaningful work and instead validates himself by falling headlong into an obsessive love affair with a much younger girl, all the while battling the very inner demons he had desperately hoped to outrun. So that's a synopsis. Is it one I'm necessarily happy with? No. But, I often joke that half the reason I wanted this book to get published is so that somebody else could write a one or two sentence synopsis that I could then steal and pass off as my own.
Right. You could bring that with you to read it. Yeah.
Somebody has done that and actually done it a couple of different times in different ways, I'm still not happy with it. I guess that's just the way it's going to be.
Well, I wish you lots of luck with this new book. I'm sure it has a special place in your heart, in part because there weren't a lot of cooks in this kitchen. It was you. You weren't getting rewrites from, film studios.
I was not getting rewrites from film studios. That's correct. I would love some if anyone would take it up and offer them. I'll still rewrite the book at this point. It comes out on Tuesday, I think.
You've got time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
you're right. I am excited. It's like I said, it's been a book that I've worked on and off for 6 years. The true benefit of having walked away from the Lorien Legacies, I wrote the first two books, somebody else was doing the last four, was that I could truly devote my attention to giving At Dawn the attention it deserved and finally get it into publishable shape. And, I'm happy to really, really happy to see the condition it's in now and to finally, in a couple of days, get it on the shelf.
Excellent. And good for you.
See how people respond to it. So I hope people like it.
Joby Hughes, if people want to find out more about you, they can go to jobyhughes.com. That's J-O-B-I-E and the last name Hughes.com. I wish you lots of luck with At Dawn, and congratulations again on I Am Number 4 and The Power of Six. I will I'll look for you online and look for your new book, At Dawn, in bookstores.
All right. I truly appreciate the time and chat. It's been fun.
Same here.
Sure.
Thanks for coming on the show.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Take care.